Ellen's got the page number.
Hi, I'm Ellen, if we haven't met. I'd love it if you could open up to 1 Corinthians 15, which is in this Bible on page 813. Before we read, let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your word. We pray as we read, you would open our eyes and our hearts. Grant us your wisdom and understanding as we read and hear Tristan speak. In Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all.
What happens when we die? What happens when we die? I'm sure that you've heard a lot of people give a lot of different answers to that question. Answers that range from rotting to reincarnation. The late Christopher Hitchens, he was a journalist and he was a really intelligent guy, but he was probably most famous for being a very outspoken atheist. What Christopher Hitchens thought about life after death is what I reckon a lot of people in Bathurst think, and what a lot of people in Australia think. That is, that death is simply the end. That's how at least a lot of people live. This is what Hitchens said about what happens after we die, and you'll have to excuse the poetic language. He is a writer. It'll come up on the screen. He said, "Death is certain, replacing both the siren song of paradise and the dread of hell. Life on this earth, with all its mystery and beauty and pain, is then to be lived far more intensely. We stumble and get up. We are sad, confident, insecure, feel loneliness and joy and love. There is nothing more." When Hitchens says death is certain, he's not saying that we all definitely die, although that's true. That's obvious. He's saying death is final. Death is certain. Death is all that there is. There's no paradise. There's no heaven. There's no hell. There's no hope after death. And there's nothing to fear, because there's nothing after death. So Hitchens says we should live life all the more intensely. Our sorrows and our joys, our confidence and insecurity, our loneliness and our love, that's all there is. So dive into life and live it to the full. If there's no life after death, eat, drink, and be merry. You might be surprised to hear that this part of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, agrees with Hitchens. Not exactly on what he believes, but absolutely on the logic of what he believes. Have a look if you have your Bible at verse 32. Now, verse 32 is just after the part that Alan read out for us. It should come up on the screen as well. Verse 32 says, "If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." If death is all there is, if there's no hope after death and nothing to fear after death, if there's nothing and no one to hold you account for what you do in this life, well then, like Hitchin says, live life intensely. Enjoy life. Do what you want. If there's no resurrection, eat and drink because tomorrow you die. Do whatever it takes to get the most out of life because it won't last long. Hitchens is spot on. Live life intensely. And the Bible agrees. If there's no resurrection. In fact, the Bible says if there's no resurrection, then the message of Jesus is a scam. And if you share the news of Jesus with people, you are passing on, you are propagating a lie. And if you put your faith in Jesus, you're wasting your time. And if you call yourself a Christian, and if you put your hope in Jesus, you should be pitied. Have a look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him from the dead, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we don't live life for ourselves. We live for someone else. We live life for God. We live for Christ the King, who we believe can save us. That means that in life we do a lot of things that serve God rather than serve ourselves. We don't live for our own fun, and we don't live for our own pleasure, and we don't live for our own comfort. But if there's no resurrection, then living life that way is just plain stupid. Because if there's no resurrection, it's all a scam. Sharing the gospel is useless, and so is your faith. If there's no resurrection, what we're doing here is a waste of time. This building is just a colossal waste of space. And you should have really done something else tonight. You should have gone out to dinner or stayed home and watched TV. You could be right now at home watching the cricket. You could be watching The King's Speech. That movie's on tonight. It's quite a good movie. You could have stayed home and watched it. In fact, if you were sitting at home right now, playing Candy Crush on your phone and eating Milo straight from the tin, that would be time better spent than coming to church. We are here at church. Those of us who are here at church, while everyone else gets on with what they want, we should be pitied. The dead aren't raised. This is a waste of time. We have made the wrong choice. If there's no hope and nothing to fear after death, then Hitchens is right. Live life intensely. Don't waste it at church. Certainly don't waste it living for Jesus if there's no resurrection. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. That's what it says there in verse 20. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Christ has been raised. There is life after death. This isn't just some crazy claim with no basis. This letter to the people at a church in Corinth, it was written only a few decades after Jesus lived and died and rose. If someone had wanted to disprove what Paul was writing in this letter, all they would have had to do is ask someone who was there. Have a look at verse 1 of chapter 15. This is before the part that we read out, so this will come up on the screen as well. It says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died according to the scriptures, died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles." Now, 2,000 years ago, people were not more gullible than we are today. People certainly didn't believe that someone could come back from the dead. Certainly not someone who was tortured and executed on a Roman cross and then buried for 2 days. Yet hundreds of people said that they saw Jesus alive. They saw Jesus raised. Hundreds of people knew that it happened. And they were surprised and amazed. They were just as surprised and amazed as we would be. Many of them didn't believe it at first. Some people who didn't like Jesus tried to cover it up. Some people wrote about it, and we read their words now in the Bible. And then these people staked their lives on the fact that Jesus rose. Quite literally, many of them were killed because they believed it. Why would they die for their belief if they were there and they knew that it was false? Jesus' resurrection is not just a fairy story. It is a real historical event. There is life after death. And there is hope after death. We all die, but if Christ is raised, then others can be raised too. Death doesn't mean the end. There is life in Christ. And if we live for Jesus in this life, we will have eternal life with him in the next. Through this one man, Jesus, people who die can be made alive again. Those who belong to him will be made alive again. Have a look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him." Jesus is the first fruits. First fruits is a bit of a farming term. First fruits is exactly what it sounds like. It's the first of the crop. It's the first of the produce. And it's a sign that there is more to come. Jesus has been resurrected, and there's more to come. All those who belong to him will also be resurrected to new life. Later on in this chapter, and we're not going to read it now, but I encourage you to check it out later because it's really amazing stuff. It says that all who belong to Jesus will have new life with a new body that won't wear out, a body that will last forever, free from pain, bodies that are imperishable and free from weakness, bodies that will never face death. And life in these new bodies will be clothed with splendor because they will live with God, and all good things come from God. That's the great hope of life after death. The flip side is there isn't just nothingness when we die. When we die, we face God. And we have to answer for how we've lived. God will judge, and facing God's judgment is a terrible and terrifying thing if we don't live under Jesus' rule. Because we're sinners. We're sinners who have rejected God. Without Jesus, there is something to fear after death. Have a look at verse 24. Verse 24 says, "Then the end will come when Christ hands over the kingdom of God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet." Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. If we don't belong to Christ, if we reject God, and if we live life for ourselves, that makes us enemies of God. And God's enemies will one day be destroyed. So if we don't belong to Jesus, death is something to fear. And so we're faced with two possibilities in all of this. Either the Bible is right and there is life after death, in which case we should live for Jesus, or the Bible is wrong and death is all there is, and we should live life intensely, enjoy it, live it for ourselves. What you think about what happens after we die makes all the difference to how you live right now. This isn't just an interesting story. Jesus is risen. Jesus rules. Right now, God has put Jesus Christ in charge, and he will be in charge until death, the last enemy, is defeated. And that's the good news of Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel. Sin no longer rules. Jesus does. Sin no longer has the final word. Jesus does. The Bible says, in fact, it says it later in this chapter, that sin leads to death. By dying on the cross, Jesus has defeated sin. And therefore, Jesus has defeated death. Jesus took the punishment we deserve for our sin. Jesus rose from death, and he did it to show us that death is not final. There's not just nothingness, there is life. Jesus gives life to all who trust in his death, and all who believe in his death, all who believe that his death takes away their sin. I've heard a lot of people take their cue from people like Christopher Hitchens and say that death is the end. After that, there's nothing. After death, there's just whatever there was before we were born. And people say that when you embrace that, when you admit that we all just die and turn back into dirt, well, that sets you free. It sets you free from guilt, and it sets you free to live the good life, the happy life. The thing is, that's not true. If we honestly stop and consider death, when we think about death, when we're confronted by the death of a son or a daughter or a wife or a husband or a mum or a dad or a friend, or when we're faced with our own death, it doesn't set us free. Because what's the point of getting good grades or enjoying a good job? What's the point of love or fun or creativity? What's the point of living life intensely when death can and death will simply take it all away? Death will take it all away. Death tears families apart. It comes from nowhere and it respects no one. It doesn't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're homeless. It doesn't matter if you're the president. Death ends life. Death puts a damper on life. The message of Jesus is a celebration. It is really wonderful news. It's joyous news. The message of Jesus is that death is not the end. New life awaits. There is new life for all who follow Jesus, because Jesus has gone before us into that new life. If that new life after death, life in Christ, is the life that you want, but you think that you don't have it yet, if you've lived up until now just for yourself, but you think now might be a good time to start following Jesus, or even if you just want to think about it a little bit more, start by praying. Start by praying. Just find a quiet moment and talk to God. It's pretty simple. Just ask him to help you to think it through. Ask God to change you. Ask him to help you to submit to Jesus as your leader. And pray that through what Jesus has done, your sin will be paid for. Here tonight at church, we're not wasting our time. If the dead aren't raised, this is all meaningless. Christopher Hitchens got that right. But the dead are raised because of Jesus and his resurrection. This life is not all there is. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, and all who belong to him will also be raised. He rose so that we can live lives of hope and not despair or fear. What happens after we die? Well, that entirely depends on Jesus. So won't you put your life, won't you put your death in his hands? I'll pray. Lord God, our Father, thank you for reminding us of the living hope that you've given us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Father, thank you for the promise of new life in a new creation. And God, please help us to be clear on what we face when we die. And Father, thank you so much that because of Jesus, we can look forward to an eternity with you with a sure hope. Amen.